everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
And this is Nick.
And this is another Secret Wars Saturday. And we're doing things a little bit different this time. It's Phoenix Comic-Con weekend, or Comic Fest, I should say. Generating a ton of content for all you guys, but the trade-off is Nick and I haven't had a chance to get together this week to talk about all these issues of The Thing for Secret Wars Aftermath. So I'm literally sitting in the parking lot at Phoenix Comic Fest because that's my dedication to you guys to make sure we get an episode out. And I know Nick's feeling a little under the weather, so appreciate that sacrifice as well. But in other Secret Wars news, I talked to John Beatty, so the inker for Secret Wars. He's at the show. Wanted to see if he wanted to come on for a quick 10 or 15 minutes. And he says, no. First of all, I've heard about Secret Wars Saturdays, which was awesome, the fact that he knew about it. And he says, I don't want to come on for 10 or 15 minutes. Like, I want to come on for a whole episode. But let's do it after the show. So look forward to, and probably in a few weeks, having John Beatty come on and give us some inside dope, some behind-the-scenes perspective on Secret Wars, that classic 12-issue miniseries from Marvel. So look forward to
that. Nice.
Now, we're here to talk about Thing. I think it's issues, 11 through 21, I think it was?
23.
Wow. Okay, so just a quick reminder for those of you that were following along with us when we did Secret Wars, you read Secret Wars in the past, Ben Grimm on the Battle World planet was able to transform back and forth from his human form of Ben Grimm to the Thing the first time ever. And Reed had his suspicions. We learned that in Thing 10, one of the prelude issues leading into Secret War. So we kind of had an idea that this was possible. And then during Secret Wars, he was flipping back and forth. He was the one character that stayed behind on Battleworld. And the pretense for that, what Ben Grimm himself thought was, you know, it's been a long time since I've had control, or he actually never had control over being able to change from the Thing to his human form. So he's like, let me stay behind. Let me figure this out. And if you remember, the other thing about Thing 10 was that he was contemplating breaking up with his longtime girlfriend, Alicia Masters, because he felt like he couldn't offer her the things that she deserved, being able to have a family, settle down, have a normal life, because he couldn't become human. And this story, what Byrne does and some of the other writers, they really flip it on their head, right? But for me personally, like if I have to nitpick, I feel like the story went on a little too long. I just don't feel like it needed to go that long. And I don't know if they did it because eventually what happens in the payoff was more impactful because it did last so long, or if they just were like, we just want to tell some fun, kooky stories in space with Ben Grimm's Space Ranger. that's what the story arc was called, right? It was like Ben Grimm Space Ranger Part 1. Rocky Grimm, I'm sorry, you're right. Not even,
even better.
Rocky Grimm Space Ranger Part 9. I'm like, oh my God, how long is this going to go on? But the payoff in the end, was, I don't know if I can say it was worth it. Now, again, remember, we're reading this 30 years later. So you've got to remember and put that in perspective as well. And it was enjoyable, right? It was enjoyable comics, even though they were super wordy and, you know, at times kind of a chore to get through with all the dialogue. But again, it's very much of its time. I did enjoy the artwork overall. A lot of Ron Wilson art with Joe Sinnott pencils. So I'm glad I read it. I'm glad I read this this era of The Thing. You know, can put it in my back pocket and always have it to refer back to, because it does say a lot about who The Thing is as a character. Even if, much like some of the other characters in Secret War, if it got kind of retconned later, I'm specifically thinking about Wolverine and Captain America, how their relationship goes. So, you know, I haven't read enough Thing, like post-Secret War Thing and you know, current Thing and Dan Slott's run of The Thing and Fantastic Four to really understand. I mean, I know he's gone through other transformations and everything, but this certainly said something about who The Thing was at that time, right? At that snapshot. And what it said was really kind of profound. What were your thoughts on it overall, Nick?
I thought it was a crazy piece of storytelling. And actually, I would love to read a title like this today, even more than in 1984. Like, I would pick up Rocky Grimm Space Knight in a heartbeat if Marvel announced that tomorrow, because that sounds crazy. But I don't know. The ending was pretty interesting, I guess. And it's kind of like served as like almost a mini Star Trek thing series where he's running into different civilizations and stuff all on the same planet. So it's, I don't know. It's quite this. It's quite the departure from anything I've ever seen the Thing involved in before. So.
Yeah. And again, I go back to thinking that that's kind of, I almost feel like Marvel thought of it as a two-pronged approach, right? Like, we get to tell a bunch of stories about the Thing or Ben Grimm, who can control his transformation. So sometimes it's Ben Grimm, sometimes it's a Thing. But we get to tell a bunch of crazy stories. You know, remember, mid-80s, so Star Wars is a thing, science fiction is a thing. We get to tell a bunch of stories with all these different kind of civilizations. So we're constantly keeping it fresh because it's Battleworld, right? And remember, Battleworld was created by the Beyonder, who plucked pieces from this planet here, that planet there, whatever, put it all together. So Grimm is traveling this world, and he literally can go 50 yards and be from jungle civilization to high-tech science fiction Blade Runner civilization just that quick, right? Just take from one step to the next, just have it switch that fast. And they're constantly talking about that in the story. So, yeah, you're right. It is like episodic Star Trek in that from one issue to the next, they can give him totally new challenges and totally new characters. But the other thing is the way it all plays out in the end and what that means for Ben Grimm and the Thing. I mean, it's he's always been somewhat of a tragic character in the Marvel Universe, and this just kind of reinforces that, right?
Oh, yeah. It's like the Hulk. Just like, yeah. The cover of the cover of 23 where he's walking away. It reminds me of the Hulk.
So I don't know how spoiler, I guess, I mean, it's 30 years old. I guess we're going to get pretty spoilery because that's kind of where we need to talk about it next. Right. So just to give kind of the plot, right. So he's on the planet. He's able to transform back and forth. He's sitting on a rock. He's holding the device that's going to allow him to transport back to Earth in his hand and thinking about, should I stay? Should I go? What's my deal with Alicia? I was about to break up with her before I got snatched away. Like, just trying to figure it all out, right? He's like, I've been here 3 days, really haven't figured out anything. I really need to make a decision. And while he's sitting there holding this device, somebody, some little small creature on like a pterodactyl kind of flying beast swings by and steals it, right? So he ends up chasing after them. Finds a civilization, these takers, they're called, that basically are like magpies. They just steal shiny objects. They fly into this tower and they disappear. And basically what happens is that he discovers that the civilization has grown up around this tower of theirs just based on the fact that all these people have chased after them trying to get their stuff back. So he manages to get through the tower. He finds out it's a teleportation post that transports him around the different places of the battle world. Ends up becoming like the ruler of them. But that leads into finding Doom and meeting all these other civilizations. And he's trying to figure out like what's going on. How can these other civilizations have memories of being ancient and being around for thousands of years when he knows battle world's only a couple weeks old? And it all goes back to the planet itself being imbued with the power of the Beyonder. So these people are, in a way, are kind of wish fulfillment or remembering where the planet they're from. And so he goes on all these adventures, right? Like, just he meets up with a girl and they have a really strong bond and a strong friendship. And maybe it could be something even more than that. But then he struggles with the romantic feelings of that versus his feelings for Alicia. And, you know, it's Rocky Grimm, Space Ranger, you know, teaching people how to be badass aerial fighters to fight off the people that are attacking them. It's going to these Star Wars cantina like bars to drink and defend people's honor. I mean, it's really a fun time when you think about it.
He has a kid, sort of.
He adopts a kid who he has to return to his civilization. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I guess it's just a chance to tell science fiction stories with the Thing, with Ben Grimm. So it's very interesting. It's very lighthearted. But there's an undercurrent that runs through it all of that tragedy and of that indecision, I'll say, for the Thing. Like, do I go back to Earth and become the monster? Do I stay here where I can flip? I mean, because he actively, throughout these adventures that he has, he's actively trying not to become the Thing. Like, he wants to resolve the issues and the conflicts as Ben Grimm. He's like, I am Ben Grimm. I am not the Thing. I don't want the Thing to be a part of this, right? I want the Thing to not be a Thing, you know, if you know what I mean. it's tough. And then come to find out, going back to that wish fulfillment, and again, spoilers if you ever plan on reading this, you turn the podcast off now if you plan on reading this at some point. But basically what's happened is that first moment when he decides to stay on the planet and everybody else leaves, and when he first contemplates, am I Ben Grimm or am I the Thing? Can I be, I need them to be two separate things. That thought of them needing to be two separate things, of him, of the Ben Grimm who's lived this adventurous life and been the Thing on Earth as a member of the Fantastic Four, when he thinks to himself, I need to separate Ben Grimm from the Thing, I need to figure it out, he literally creates a doppelganger of himself. He literally creates another Ben Grimm that doesn't really have the ability to become the Thing. And that character is the one that's kind of behind the strings, or behind the scenes, I should say, pulling the strings and causing all this conflict in Ben Grimm / the Thing's journey throughout his journeys on Battleworld. And what we come to find out is that, and Ben, he discovers this for himself, right? Like, we learned about it in The Thing 10 when Richard said he suspected that the reason that his cures for the Thing over the years never worked out, despite his best intentions, was because deep down, Ben Grimm didn't want to be healed. He didn't want to be fixed. He didn't want to stop being the Thing. And the reason for that was that Alicia Masters fell in love with the Thing. And he was always worried that if he was just plain old Ben Grimm, that Alicia wouldn't love him anymore. And so he was constantly self-sabotaging any cure that Reed Richards had to turn him back into plain old Ben Grimm. And so Reed had suspected this for a long time, but he never told Ben. And basically what happened was then when he's on the planet, he's on Battleworld, he thinks that he may be trapped there forever. He may never see Alicia again. That mental block is lifted, right? Like, if Alicia's off the board, there's no reason for him to not have the ability to change back and forth, right? So when he gets confronted and realizes what happened, like, I created another Ben Grimm. He's totally separate from me. But now what do I do? I'm confronted by the fact that, yeah, like, I'm worried that Alicia may not love me if I'm not the Thing, but yet I've been on these adventures and being able to transform into the Thing has helped me out over time. And eventually what he comes to realize as he battles his doppelganger is that there really shouldn't be a difference in his mind, right? There shouldn't be a separation between who Ben Grimm is and who the Thing is now. Like, it's really one entity, and that's what he comes to accept. And because he comes to accept this and he wants to save the woman that he's been traveling companion, who, again, remember, all this world and all these adventures he's going on in a way have been created by his own imagination and his own desires, but also by the doppelganger Ben Grimm's machinations. And I can't remember, is her name Tarani? Tariana?
Tariana, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Tariani. So she's captured by the kind of the evil Ben Grimm doppelganger. But the actual Ben Grimm knows that she's kind of a figment of his imagination, but yet he still has feelings for her, and she's in danger, and he confronts himself, and ultimately he decides that him together with Tariana, they're going to kill the other Ben Grimm. Like they're going to vanquish him. But symbolically, what he's doing is he's destroying, or he's killing his ability to ever transform or become that Ben Grimm. He's embracing the fact that he's the thing. That's who he is. Forget about Ben Grimm. Forget about any kind of human side of himself. For good or ill, accept the fact that this is his life. He's done way more good as the thing than he ever could have as Ben Grimm. And so he chooses that path. That's the way he can resolve this and save Tariana. Now, Tariana eventually, he saves her in a way, but in vanquishing the evil Ben Grimm, his citadel and castle disappears. It fades out of existence. And the real Ben Grimm is there holding Tariana in his arms, comforting her because she was wounded during the battle. And knowing that now that he's accepted who he is as the thing and he has to go home, back home to Earth, that she's going to cease to exist as well. And she as well fades out in his arms. And it's a very sad, poignant moment. But where it really gets crazy is, so now he goes home, right? And this actually happens in one of the Fantastic Four issues. I want to say it's 250, 249 maybe. But he goes home, She-Hulk has taken his place, and he finds out that Johnny Storm and Alicia have started dating. They've fallen in love while he's been gone. And he's been gone months. You know, they all came back. The rest of the heroes all came back months and months prior. And he feels betrayed, and he feels like, I made all these sacrifices. I sacrificed the ability to change. I literally killed Ben Grimm. I discovered that I had this mental block, was able to overcome it, may have been able to overcome it back here on Earth. But before I even had the chance, I killed that chance. I killed Ben Grimm symbolically, which in his mind has killed Ben Grimm and any ability he had to change back to human form. He did all that. And now he comes back, and come to find out his girl and his best friend, his brother really, are now dating and they're in love. And he doesn't want to stand in the way of them because he wants them both to be happy. But at the same time, he's devastated and he's heartbroken and he's crushed, right? So the last issue, 23, again, it spins out of that Fantastic Four issue. He's very angry. He's trying to understand. And it's kind of a recap and putting him back in his spot on Earth and where he goes from here. And to make matters worse, then Reed comes in to try to comfort him and see how he's doing. And through the course of their conversation, Reed admits to the thing. He's like, hey, so I knew that you always had the ability to change back and forth, and I knew it was kind of a mental block with Alicia, but now Alicia's with Johnny, so maybe you at least have that to go back to. And Ben, the thing, he flips out. Because he's like, why? You knew all this time, High Pockets. You knew all this time, Big Brain, that I had the ability to make this change, and you never trusted me to tell. You never trusted me enough to tell me this. You always thought you knew best. You're always making things worse because you're thinking and making decisions for me. And you just should have told me and stopped trying to live my life for me and treating me like a little kid. But what you've done by not telling me and not making me aware of that, now I spent all this time on Battleworld and I literally killed Ben Grimm there. I literally killed my ability to turn back into human. And you knew all this time and you didn't tell me. And now that you finally have the guts to tell me, now it's too late because I already killed him. And that's the tragedy of the thing. And I think that's really the story that Byrne wanted to tell all along. But again, I don't think it needed 12 issues to do it, or 13 issues or whatever it was. But we got a lot of fun space Buck Rogers, middle 80s hijinks along the way, right?
Absolutely.
So what are your thoughts about the whole Ben Grimm should have been able to turn human, blew it? Like, did that shock you that it got – I mean, because it was so fun and lighthearted to start, and then it got deep those last couple issues.
Yeah, kind of towards the end, though, I didn't know how much of it to believe. Like, if he was being messed with by the Beyonder or something, or if it, like, really was him. So,
That's the other thing, right? Like, I mean, at the time, I think it was 100% accurate. But I mean, he's undergone so many transformations since then.
Yeah.
Who knows, really? But if you just take it at face value, it's pretty tragic.
Yeah.
So you think Reed made the right call? I mean, should
no? Reed should have told him. Reed should have told him.
I go back and forth, though. I mean, so Reed didn't tell him because. So let's say Reed does tell him. Let's play devil's advocate. Reed tells him, okay, so you have the ability to transform from the thing to human, but what's stopping you from doing that is your love of Alicia. Isn't he really kind of saying, okay, you need to either choose to be human or choose Alicia?
That's right. I don't see Ben Grimm reacting well to that either.
Right?
But he's not really a tempered fellow.
He's not a tempered fellow. Let's put that on a shirt. Right? I mean, he's screwed either way. I mean, he's going to be like, do I choose to be human?
Learning that is like, oh, crap.
And the other thing about it is, and I know this is very much of its time and the way comics were back then, Ben gives no credit to Alicia in a way. I mean, she was always kind of a two-dimensional character back then, but what I mean by giving her no credit, like, why would you, like, if you realize this, why would you not give her the choice? Like, he's so afraid that Alicia only loves him as the thing that he can't become human because she might not love him. Why would you not go to her and talk? This is your girl that you, like, love. Why would you not go to her and talk, hey, so here's the deal. If you only love me when I'm, you know, rocky and you know, strong and hard and... I mean, what's going on, the kinky stuff in the bedroom or what? Like, why not give her the choice? Why not at least talk to her about it? So again, I guess in that way I kind of agree with you. Like, Ben, Reed should have told him, because then at least he would have had the opportunity to go and talk to her about it. Like, hey, so Reed thinks this. What do you think? But then, you know, maybe he was right all along, because she sure flipped over to Johnny pretty fast.
That's true.
But then, you know, later, what is it, around issue 400 or so, we find out that Alicia was actually kidnapped by the Skrulls.
And oh, no.
Alicia, you don't know this. I'm totally spoiling it.
She's been a Skrull the whole time?
Not the whole time, but...
Since then?
Johnny and Alicia eventually get married.
Oh, no.
And then it turns out that the Alicia that Johnny fell in love with and married all that time was actually a Skrull named Lyja. And he actually fell in love with the Skrull. And things Alicia, like the thing and his Alicia eventually reconcile. And it's a little bit Days of Our Lives, All My Children kind of thing. But yeah, at this time, I'm sure that wasn't the plan, but that's eventually what happens.
Nice.
It's almost hard to believe they ever canceled Fantastic Four, right? With these kind of great story ideas.
It's coming back.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for the parking lot episode of Secret Wars Saturday. Anything else you want to mention? I feel like I've monopolized all the time, Nick.
No. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would. It was kind of just like a trippy space adventure, Like I said, I'd love to see that as a modern miniseries. It would be great.
Yeah, I've never read that much thing. I've never read that much Fantastic. I have a giant run of Fantastic Four because I'm such a huge John Byrne fan. But I've never read it all cohesively. I've read an issue here, an issue there. But I really enjoyed it too. It's not like this changed my mind and the thing's going to become one of my favorite characters or anything. But there's a lot more depth to the character than I think I realized. I appreciate that I got to check this out as well. So, for you listeners, remember next Saturday we're going to be talking about the first issue of Secret Wars 2,
Woo!
Number 1. And as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we'll have John Beatty, the anchor for the original Secret Wars, on to talk about the story and the book really, really soon. So appreciate that. Just a reminder, don't forget you can go to lrmonline.com for all past episodes of the podcast. While you're there, be sure and check out all our other content, pop culture, movies, TV shows, all that kind of great stuff. We have a lot of convention coverage from Phoenix Comic Fest coming out really, really soon. Interviews with Manu Bennett, who plays Deathstroke on Arrow, Sean Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy, Scott Snyder, Dan Panosian, Todd Knock, Addy Granov, like a lot of really, really great creators. So be sure you're paying attention over the next few weeks when all this content comes out. Twitter.com/thecomicsource is where we can be found on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three places are great spots to find out when we do release new episodes, which is pretty much a daily basis these days. And also, be sure you're following us for just a ton of pictures and convention coverage from Phoenix Comic Fest, Denver Comic Con coming up in a few weeks, and then San Diego after that. So, yeah, be sure you're following us. Reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram. We love hearing from fans and listeners. If any of you are at Phoenix Comic Fest this weekend, be sure and track me down. I have some awesome Comic Source lanyards that I'll hook you up with. And we always love to meet listeners and find out what they like about the show and what they're reading and all that kind of great stuff. So, again, we appreciate you all listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.